Annyeonghaseyo! Welcome to Afternoona Delight, where Leah, Megan, and Amy, romance novelists and your K-romance guides. So grab some dekboki and listen to your new favorite unnies.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there. Megan and I didn't know how to start last week.
Yeah, I heard.
It was very awkward. We like said it at the same time.
I hope my absence made you reflect on how much you do like me.
Oh, right. We did. I mean, we mentioned you many times.
We were
always on our minds.
Oh, we missed you. Who sings that song? Is it John Denver?
No.
We're always on my mind.
Isn't that like Kenny Rogers or Willie Nelson or something?
What? I think it's Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson.
It's Willie Nelson.
You're like in tune there. Can you secretly sing like Amy again?
Mm-hmm.
You can?
I can sing.
God, we should go on tour.
I mean, I kind of just like yell talk it to a tune, but yeah.
I mean, I couldn't right now because right now I look like and feel like I got punched in the face.
I can still see the
swollen.
You can see that swollen, but what you cannot see is that I have a bruise going from here like to under my chin.
Like visible on like...
Visible on the outside. Yeah, I don't want to freak anybody out because I've had this done before. So I had gum grafting surgery.
Ugh. To save her teeth.
To save my teeth, right? Because I'm a clencher, and that contributes to gum recession. And I had this done before in October to a couple of teeth on...
Were your teeth wiggling?
The upper? Mm-mm. No. They weren't, like, falling out or anything.
Well, no. I mean, I just didn't know how, like...
No, it wasn't like that drastic.
How dire was this?
No, not at all.
Could you eat an apple?
Yes. I have eaten many an apple since before having this. But I had it done to a couple of teeth. It's like a couple of teeth here, a couple of teeth there. On the top in October. And it was uncomfortable, but it wasn't like I didn't swell. I didn't bruise. So this is on the bottom and it's like closer. It's like by my molars. And thank goodness, like both my kids are away on spring break. I was by myself over the weekend. I got it done on Friday. And I was calling myself Harvey Two-Face because this whole side of my face was like twice the size.
Like you sent a picture and I was like, oh, God. Yeah.
And that wasn't even the worst of it. Like that was like right when it started when I was like, oh, my God. So the swelling's going down now, but now it looks like somebody literally punched me in the jaw. Like the skin on the outside like hurts.
I can't, what the hell? I can't see it through the screen.
No, and I've got makeup on over it too because I went to work today. Like
that's true.
But I'm like, this is not what, and I have two other spots on the other side of my mouth. And I'm like, I'm going to ask the doctor and be like, how dire is this? Because I don't want to do it.
Oh my God, you still have more to go?
Yeah, and I'm halfway done. I've got top and bottom. And it's, like I said, it's just like a couple teeth here and a couple teeth there where like the gums are starting to go back.
I mean, how far back are they? If you lose a tooth in the very back, come on.
No, it's like up front.
Because I mean, look, I mean, I don't advocate, no offense to our Australian listeners, but I am saying like I have noticed a difference in teeth. Like people let their teeth go more freely there. But
I also like, you know, I've got like, you know, 2 years of like orthodonture, like, you know, that happened here. And if I lose any teeth, they're going to all like jumble around. Like I have a friend who's got an implant because that happened to her. Like she lost one.
Yeah, I think I would just still feel, I'm not sure the age I'd have to hit before I was like, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Like I'm not okay. I like my smile. I would like to keep it.
Well, I like the front teeth. So, okay. Yeah. So Nick, I'm going to just tell this story. I wasn't expecting to tell the story, but just I'll do it very quickly. When I first got together with my husband back, you know, 3,000 years ago, he went to Antarctica or the subantarctic and he worked on an island with a whole bunch of people, not a whole bunch, like 40 people were on this island. And there was some woman who studied sea lions at the very far end of the island. And one of the things she would do to study them is she would somehow go and like extract teeth out of seals and sea lions to do research. So they would have to like, you know, grab these seals, hold them down and then like rip a tooth out. You know, the seal wasn't excited or the sea lion. And she developed like a funky tooth, like she had like a tooth abscess, and she was like at a hut at the very bottom of the island.
No.
And she was apparently feverish.
Yeah.
And so over the radio, the doctor for the station, who like was in charge of like keeping 49 people alive for like the 6 months they were down there, basically talked her through how to extract her own tooth with like a pair of pliers, basically.
No.
Which she did. And apparently she had done this before, because my husband said she was missing like a few. This is what I'm saying. Like, and she was from New Zealand. Apparently she was missing like a couple teeth.
Oh, my God.
And she wasn't old. Like, she wasn't like 90. She was like 35.
Right.
I think it turned Nick on. Like, he was hot for
it.
He was like, what a fucking woman. Like, like, he came back and he was like, she was down there. And she just, like, took those pliers and, like, ripped her teeth out. And she, like, was already missing a couple. But, I mean, it was just, like,
that,
you know, like, basically, he was,
kink.
Like, she was so badass and, like, so just, like, fucking one with the earth that she was just, like, just, like, I don't know. He was bonery about it.
And
it,
I mean, should I maybe get, like, on an Aussie dating app and be, like, look, I've got, like, 20 stitches in my mouth right now.
Probably.
Be like, she was Kiwi.
They took.
But can you pull out your own tooth?
They took tissue from the roof of my mouth and made new gums with it on the bottom of my mouth.
I'll ask him.
That's pretty amazing.
How hot is that? Make some tonight. I'll tell you this, though. I have all my wisdom teeth came through, like, fine. Like, they all came through. And my dentist was like, we're American dentists, so we don't like our wisdom teeth. Even if they've come through fine, you should get rid of them. And I was like, but they're all fine.
But
and
why?
So after like years of them just like being dicks about the fact that I had wisdom teeth that were all fine, they were finally
moving your other teeth?
No, like, no, my teeth are fine. I've never had braces. They're fine.
Yeah,
and why would you eat them out?
I don't know. He just was like, they're like a cavity risk. And so finally I was like, look, I don't want you to put me to sleep. I have a phobia to be put to sleep. If you just want to fucking rip out some of these teeth to feel better, like, go for it. And he was like, okay, let's schedule you in. So I just raw dogged out like two of my wisdom teeth, which was a fascinating process.
Did you get Novocaine?
Of course I didn't.
Okay, well, then that's not totally, you're not that raw dogging. Like, you were,
I mean, raw dogging enough that you could hear the sound of the teeth. Like, it was like having the ice breaking in the back of my head.
Yeah, gross.
And I went home and it wasn't like my husband was like, oh, baby, tell me more. He was like,
no, because you didn't do it with a pliers.
Yeah, apparently, I need to just do it myself.
Yeah.
And it has to be like my front teeth. And then I'd be sexy.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you right now, I'm really heavily inspired by this book, and I will be writing a heroine in this city or in this series that I'm currently writing who pulls her own tooth out with pliers. I hope that's okay. That I use.
Will she regenerate it, or will she just have like a fuck hole then?
No, a fuck hole. I'll probably make it a molar.
Her front tooth.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make it her front
She's
tooth.
She's not gonna walk around like Cindy Brady.
I'm just saying. Then, like, what can slide in one of the ruffles?
No,
dick ruffles.
Not, they don't have frilled dicks in this series. That was a different series. But anyway, so yeah, I'm writing that. One of my heroines is gonna do that. I'm a little turned on too.
All right. Well, you and Nick can get together and be sexied out when people rip their teeth out. I don't find it particularly hot. And when it's just not.
That's why I'm doing this horrible torture to keep my teeth.
Okay. Ugh. Well,
all right. Well,
thanks for listening, everyone. Bye bye. Annyeong.
Annyeong.
So this was, I mean, an absurd. I'm gonna thread that needle
go,
here. This was a slightly absurd way to begin the conversation. But is it as absurd as creating an entire drama around the premise of a beautiful woman accidentally turning herself into a very delicious looking piece of fried chicken?
A chicken nugget. She didn't even have a bone. Like, no bones.
No, she was a boneless. She was a boneless wing.
Boneless nugget. She was very round.
I kind of want to get wings right now.
Usually boneless wings aren't. I know. I'm really hungry, actually.
Boneless wings are chicken strips.
Do you?
Yeah.
Look, when I... I'm not going to be snobby enough as an American to say that I'm too cool for a boneless wing. I'm going boneless
Okay, no, I'm not too cool. I don't like wings.
Bone in or you don't like wings.
I don't like wings. Oh, I don't like trying to like I don't like having to like gnaw meat. There's like I don't like having to gnaw meat off a bone. Well, yeah, that's not a wing. That's a chicken strip. Yeah.
No, it's not a chicken strip.
Boneless wings are not wings. They are it's just chicken chunks.
Whatever. But I'm saying that in the go ahead.
Chicken nugget, she's boneless. So she's when we go she's like a perfectly very round nugget.
When that's what I'm saying. I want to know someday, are you going to not get chicken with us?
I'll get chicken in Korea, but I won't get little wings, like little chicken wings on the bone. That's all I'm saying. I don't like eating.
But you got to get fried chicken wings. They're just little wings. That's what you get. You don't get like a big breast.
No, they have like drumsticks and stuff like that. They have bigger pieces than wings. I have seen the show.
Oh, you want like a big like thigh breast?
No, I don't. You're just gonna be like a breast.
Thigh wing.
I like a breast. I like
you're not getting a breast. I can tell you that right now.
Well, then I might not. If I can't get a breast, or I'll get it boneless.
Oh my God.
I just want to know if these chicken nuggets are like the white meat or the dark meat, or if they're in it. Is it like the processed chicken? Like, I'm actually really, really curious because they talk about how good these chicken nuggets are. The whole drama, by the way. Which, yeah, let's just say I'm the only one who watched the thing the whole way.
I watched the first episode and I was like, I cannot in my right mind dedicate
I was
5 hours to this.
I was a trooper.
I was ready to be a trooper. I thought you were talking about it.
You were so
I've been
much
talking
talk.
About it for weeks.
I know.
I watched the whole thing because I thought you would watch it
too. It shit the bed for me within like 90 seconds. I was like,
did you watch any of it?
Yeah, of course. I watched the first episode and I was ready.
That's all I did.
But I watched it thinking I was going to love it and that I was all in.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's actually talk about that. So tell me. What's your, because you were the one, again, I wanted to watch it as well, but you were like the most insistent on it. So what were that's fine. What were your expectations? Or I guess, what were you hoping? Let's say what were your expectations, but also what you were hoping.
Yeah, you were excited.
Oh,
you
were. I was delighted.
Why?
Okay. I think the premise to me was very over the top silly, which isn't always like my thing. Like, you know, I'm not
it's never your thing.
Yeah, I was like,
your thing.
I don't like slapstick, but I do like kind of like surrealism. And so like the previews of like the just like woman's body with the chicken nugget head, like I was like, this could be like cracked out enough that I'm going to like it. Mm-hmm. I just don't want it to be like a silly farce. And I want to be careful because there were other people who felt this was really smart. So I only watched one episode. And if you thought the first episode was smart, I'm not saying you're not smart. Just for me, I like started it. And I also like, here's the other thing. I also have a legitimate crush on both Kim Yoo-jung, who is the chicken nugget, and also Ahn Jae-hung, who is our like awkward yet lovable lead, who also was in like Reply 1988 and be melodramatic. Like, I just have a thing for him. It's dirty and I would do bad things. And so I trusted him because he hasn't let me down yet. Every time I've watched drama with him, I've enjoyed it. So I was like, look, I think he just is going to pick a winner for me. I was 1,000% confident. I'm looking up right now because I just pulled it up. Mm-hmm. It says 6% like this TV show.
6%?
Okay. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad because I only watched the first episode too. And if it just like wasn't it, for
stand
me.
Stand up and be proud. Stand up and be proud. I'm not yucking your yum. If you like it,
no.
I don't ever mind somebody telling me I think you're an idiot.
We don't
shut
need
up.
To I all like that. We don't need to all like the same thing. Like at
I'm
all.
I'm just laughing just... that when I looked it was I was like, ooh, IMDb has it as 5 out of 10. And that again, like who gives a shit? Like if you found joy in this for me. I am looking at the audience reviews right now, and somebody had what I thought it would be, which is this is a very, very very positive review. But somebody said when this show popped up on my feed, I had a good feeling it would be something different, something unique. And boy, was I right. This delightful concoction of wit and charm caught me off guard in the best of ways. It's like a refreshing breeze on a hot summer day, light, invigorating, and oh so entertaining. Amidst his humor lies a subtle yet profound message that adds layers to the already rich tapestry. But for those who've had the pleasure of immersing themselves in its world, they will find it to be a true gem, a shining beacon of laughter and enlightenment. And now I have an on-call call coming in. So one moment.
Okay. Mute. Can you mute? Leah's stepping away for a moment, but we'll keep going.
So, okay. I watched the drama the whole way through. So let me talk about it a little bit to maybe round out and give some context about Chicken Nugget. So I did do a few Instagram stories right after I watched this because I wanted to like kind of get my thoughts out. So and one thing that I want to say about it that's so I am going to talk a few spoilers. I think that's okay. We're going to spoil Chicken Nugget.
As long as it doesn't like destroy it for someone.
I don't think it's going to. I don't think I'm going to talk about like the very end. But I'll say a few spoilers. But the first thing is the whole time I'm not going to name the drama because it would ruin the drama. But there's another drama where I watched the whole thing and I loved it. And I thought that a certain weird sci-fi thing happened and I believed it. I was like, OK, this is like half fantasy paranormal or whatever. And then the drama switches at the end and what you thought was like sci-fi-ish actually just never happened. And something much more real happened and whatever. So that's kind of what I was maybe thinking with Chicken Nugget. I was like, something happened and this Chicken Nugget is not her, and they'll find out this whole time they've been protecting this real actual Chicken Nugget. It's not her. And there's no bait and switch. Like, she turns into a Chicken Nugget. There's no, like, that, okay? And so yes. I feel like that needs to be said a little bit, because if you're going into this thinking, yeah, it's going to be this, like, really clever, like, bait and switch. It's not, dude. She turns into a nugget. And it's, like, not, you know, whatever. So
I have a question, too, at some point I want to ask.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do want to address the humor. I will say one thing about the humor of this drama is that it was very self-aware. Like, there were many things that happened that were clearly just for humor. There were characters that were a little bit, obviously, like plot Muppets. I mean, there was a specific humor that felt self-aware. It didn't feel like I wasn't laughing because I was like, this drama takes itself too seriously or something like that. It was a truly type of like self-aware, we're making something different humor. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. They knew this.
Like, they're in on the joke.
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They were in on the joke from the. Yeah, I felt like that.
Yeah. And
I just didn't want to be in on it too.
Yeah, totally. And but I mean, there were like there were actors like Jung Ho Yun. She's from Squid Game, like one of the famous actresses that was a lead in Squid Game. She had like a cameo in this, which her cameo was really funny. She was basically the main character, the one Leah likes. This is his ex-girlfriend and she like loves him very much, and like he really hurt her, and I think the joke is like she's beautiful supermodel and he's him, like he's not like played up to be like attractive.
He's not conventionally handsome. But
I mean, you know how there's actors, they do the same thing in America where they're like, this is the ugly dude, we're gonna tell you mm-hmm. that he is ugly because how could this beautiful woman fall for him?
Because he wears yellow pants.
He wears like the same outfit every day.
It was same mouth every day. And so, like, I think that was to play off of laughs a little bit, but she had a great cameo. I mean, she was, like, fantastic. So that's why I was, like, still having really high hopes for it. Because the humor felt self-aware, and I was like, I'm gonna see where this goes. And I guess I was hoping for something, I don't know what I was hoping for. Because towards the end, I felt like we were getting a little bit of a caper. So, spoiler, she enters, so at the beginning, she enters the machine, turns into a chicken nugget. So the big spoiler, so I guess like skip ahead like 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this, but the big spoiler is that the machines are actually from aliens. Straight up bad CGI purple blobs that are aliens, okay? And these aliens came to Earth 200 years ago and they left these machines. And so, well, they got, they can like look at something and whatever they're looking at, when they're in the machine, that's what they change into. Okay. So they like found a human and they like looked at him and they changed into him. And then they lost their machines, which seems like kind of a big deal. like how did you lose your machines? Like, they're these big purple machines in like Joseon Dynasty, and you're telling me that,
right,
like,
right, like they are like very anachronistic.
You lost your machines?
Like, yeah, there's no way people aren't finding these and be like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
And also, like, how do you lose them? Like, they're not going anywhere. They're like these big cabinet machines.
So the aliens,
are they looking for them? I don't understand.
Yes.
Like, what do you mean they
so
lost
for 200
them?
Okay. Years they've just been these, like, the same people, obviously. They're like immortal, I guess. And it took 200 years to find these machines. But then there's also
how many
this,
are
like,
there?
There's four of them. And they're the ones who run the chicken nugget shop. But then there's also this, like, kind of maybe like nutso kind of, not nutso, and that's not the word I want to use, but he's like very eccentric scientist. And so he like found one of the machines, and he's been like doing experiments on it to try to figure out like what this machine is. So he's also kind of a villain because he's trying to get the machines back. And then his nephew is like a really big villain because all his nephew wants to do. So this is great because this is another thing. Like, I don't always love the played up, like, oh, he's pretty. He's attractive. He's not. He's the ugly character. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't love that. But they had the one brother who was conventional. Like, the joke was that he's 25, but everyone thinks he's like 50. And I think the actor playing him is an older man. And his brother is Jin Young from GOT7, who was in Yumi Cells. Leah. That's who Jin Young from GOT7 is.
Mm-hmm.
So the season 2 of Yumi Cells. So anyway, so obviously his brother is like beautiful. And he is like resentful and he wants to turn into his brother. So that's the biggest thing. He's like, I want to turn into my brother and then like take over my brother's life. So those were kind of like villains who also wanted the machine. And it's very weird because then there's like this like showdown in a barn. And it started to get so between like the aliens and then the scientist and his nephew and then the two guys trying to find the daughter to, you know, turn her back into a human. I know it sounds kind of I feel like I'm
bored.
I know. I feel like I'm just spraying words right now because you can tell me because that's the thing. It got really weird at the end. And then I guess the big reveal, yes, I'm still talking about Chicken Nugget if you skip 30 seconds ahead. The big reveal is that there's not enough power in the machines. So they have to take the chicken nugget. The purple aliens have to take the chicken nugget back to their home planet. And it'll take one day to turn her back into a human. But one day on their planet is 50 years.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So they send her off. They're like, bye, Chicken Nugget. Bye, Minashi. We love you. We'll see you in 50 years. And she, I was like, this has to be, something's going to be, like, what's going on? But no, she was there for 50 years. She was there for 50 years. And then it flashes forward ahead. Yellow Pants is like this big K-pop star. And he's like 70.
Wait, he's a K-pop star?
Or he's a singer. He's not a K-pop star, but he's like a singer.
Okay. And he's like 75 years old.
Uh-huh. 75 years old. He's sold out stadiums around the world. His name is Yellow Pants.
I am not sad I dropped this.
And the thing is, this whole time I was like, there has to be some satire. Bring me something that feels smart and, you know, and like indie filmish. That's what I was hoping for
That's what I was expecting.
And then they like flash back to when they have to make the decision. So I was like, oh, okay, that Yellow Pants was just some sort of dream. But then no, they flash forward again and that's it. That's it. They skipped 50 years. The dad has done everything he could to stay alive. He's like, I'm going to live till like I'm 150 because I want to see my daughter again. So I have to live till I have to live 50.
Is he alive?
So he's alive. And so the aliens, bring the, oh my God, I need to get the name. What's it? Jung Bung Wan?
I forgot.
Okay.
I'm lucky.
It's okay. So, but they bring him the chicken nugget and they're like, sorry, it's going to take another day.
Wait, what do you mean? Why would it take another day?
I don't know. They're like, we had to fix the machines. It's going to take another day.
So they waited and both of them are...
They waited 50 years and she's still a fucking chicken nugget.
And so we never see her again?
No.
Do you actually see her again, or you just know she's coming back in another 50 years?
You just know she's coming back in another 50 years. That's all you know. And the dad dies on the way to see his daughter still being a chicken nugget. Like, he had lived all that time. And it was really weird because they, like, show up at his house and they have this little, like, CGI figure, like, jumping among the jungle. Like, wee, wee. And he's like, I'm still alive. Like, it's... It's very strange. And yeah, so that's how it ends. You won't see your friend.
I want to never talk about this again.
I'm sorry. That's not how it ends. Well, that's how that timeline ends. But then the alien's like, okay, but I can't turn her back into a human, but I can turn back time to 50 years ago. Which I don't know why he has the power to do that.
Why did they do that in the first place?
I don't know. So he's like, I'll send you back in time, but like all these memories are gone. You're not going to remember any of this. And he's kind of like, oh, I won't have like my fame anymore. Like I'll, you know,
he's loved this girl who was the nugget this whole time.
Yes. So he's the whole time he's been completely in love with Nugget Girl. So he's like determined to see her. So he's like, OK, I'll go back in time to 50 years. Like, I'll forget all my memories. I'll
to
forget
keep her
everything.
From ever getting in the box.
Well, that's the thing. So they show, so flashes back to 50 years. That's the decision he made. He made, I guess that was supposed to be.
He chose love.
I guess, but I'm like, don't tell me this is a sweet, cute drama and it did make me laugh, but I'm missing something like then. I'm missing the like super smart, do you know what I mean? Anyway, so the very, very end, like the very, very ending scene is her once again walking down the street holding the chicken nugget box, because that's how the drama starts. She's walking down the street holding the chicken nugget box to bring chicken nuggets to her dad. And she walks in the room and the camera pans over and sees the machine. Credits. So no one remembers.
So she's going to do it all over again.
Yeah.
No, because
she's going to do it all over again. Because no one remembers. Because
Yellow Pants isn't there, right? They don't remember.
Yellow Pants doesn't have his memory. So he can't be like, oh, hey, don't get in the fucking box. So it's going to happen all over again.
Okay.
I guess it's just a repetitive cycle.
What a delight. Your life is a loop of nuggetry.
it's a loop of nuggetry. So that's it.
I mean, that is absurd enough that I guess I don't like surrealism as much as I did.
Well, so this is the thing. I think I'm sorry to bring this up again, but I have talked on this podcast about how I read Sharkheart. And Sharkheart is a book where a man, a husband, has a terminal illness. And the terminal illness is that he is gradually going to turn into a great white shark.
But it's not a comedy.
But the way the book presents it is interesting. It's surreal. It's basically what Leah, I think, wanted out of this. Because it feels smart. It feels fresh. You know what I'm saying? And so and that's kind of what I was hoping for, too. Something like that, like a reverend or whatever. Something smarter than me, basically, is what I wanted, you know? And so when I saw Chicken Nugget and there was this, I think Leah, this is what Leah had talking about. There was this like still frame that they had released before Chicken Nugget came out, which is a woman's body and a chicken nugget head. And the main character is like talking to her. And so you think, oh, my God, does she turn into a chicken nugget? And it's just this walking chicken nugget head. Like, that feels surreal. That feels different. Whatever. But that's the only part that happens. It's like a dream sequence, which is actually the funniest part of the whole drama. And why maybe they just sort of made her a walking head nugget.
Yeah.
It's because it was really funny. He took out oil and began to paint her head because he's like, we can't let you dry out. You have to stay moist. And I like, that's funny to me. That's funny. That's surreal. If the whole drama would have been him treating her like treating her chicken nugget head, I would have loved it.
So One of the questions that I saw our Patreon ask was, would you have rather seen this as a movie?
No. Yes.
I would. I could have probably handled a movie of it. I don't think I would have like loved it, but I feel like this premise is a movie premise. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like this is enough for a movie. I don't think we needed to have even, how many episodes was it? Like
10. Ten short ones, right?
I think it was 10. 10, 40 minutes. They were only like 25 minutes. Yeah.
No, they were longer than that because I could. Felt like 3 hours for me.
Some of them were different. But yeah, I mean, they're short, though. They weren't a full hour.
Yeah. I think a movie. If you're going to do anything, make it a movie.
But I really would have liked to see a movie where she was just a chicken nugget head the whole time. And him having to, like, paint her with oil to keep her moisturized. Like, that was the part of Shark Heart that was really interesting, was she had to keep making real-life adaptations for his, like, transformation. Like, so he started not having legs, so then she had to push him around in a wheelchair as his legs began to, like, fuse and get, like, a shark tail. But they had to do that all while navigating a reality where that's seen as, like, a terminal illness. So they see him and they're like, they get pity in their eyes. It's not, oh, what is this fantasy world where a man turns into a shark? It's the whole world made sense. And I guess if you could give me a show where she turns into a chicken nugget and he's like treating her head and people look at him like, oh God, it's that guy with the chicken nugget head. God, isn't that sad? Did you read about him? You know, like that's funny. And does that make sense?
It does. Look, I'm surprised the melodramatic was such a win for me. That's what one of the reasons too I came in very like bullish on this was, right. You know, neither of you have seen Be Melodramatic. It is not a good this is not a good cross comparison. It wasn't like the humor, like none of it checked out. Like it's a very, mm-hmm. very different drama that I found.
Wait, before
very,
you move
like,
on,
poignant.
I just want to say I just want to say real quick, there is a shout out to Be Melodramatic in the movie. They like watch the drama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's the one where, so I'm sorry, let me just tell this one part and then you can keep going. At one point, the mad scientist who wants to figure out these machines, he gets in the machine, turns on and the guy sees a little slug. And so he turns into a slug for like years or at this point it's months, I think. Anyway, he turns into a slug.
Wait, why is he only a slug for months?
Because he is able to get turned back. Which,
why?
They don't really ever explain why he was able to get turned back. But maybe that's when
I just have nothing to
power.
Say.
Like, I don't know. But anyway, he is a slug and he lives with another, he lives in this like weird house with this guy who just like found this machine and took it in. So this little slug and he and this guy watch Be Melodramatic every night and he like knows it by heart. Look, and stuff.
To anyone who's still listening, I'm fucking sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That
people
was
want to know.
30. That was like 30 minutes on Chicken Nugget.
Sorry.
And look,
that was a whole episode of Chicken Nugget.
Well, they wanted it. People asked.
I know. I'm glad I know now, but I was still never going back to it.
No.
It was a remarkable. It was not the letdown. Like, I mean, I was looking at it funny. So it's not like it was like the silent sea where I was like actually just fucking pissed. And I watched the whole silent sea.
Right. You did.
But, yeah. You know, I mean, I had a good sense of humor. Like I was going in like, oh, I think I'm going to really like it. After an episode, I'm like, I absolutely like it. Not at all. And I'll live like, you know, bummer, but OK.
Yeah.
And I just I'm not like yucking anybody's yum. I just knew going in that it wasn't going to be for me, and it wasn't for me. Yeah. And I like silly, but like this was, I guess, for me, there can be too silly, and it was too silly.
Yeah, and I think I just trusted the writer and the director, like the last, because they haven't done much, but I just felt like it was like so not silly and so my taste that I was like, oh, whatever this is ridiculous, but it's going to be to my taste. And then I was like, nope, not to mine.
And I would say like there were so many parts that were funny that I did like. There were some like little details that were just funny, but I didn't like overall. I guess like I started wondering what the point was. Then it just started to feel like they were just putting scenes in to be silly. And maybe, again, I could be missing something entirely. Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, it is.
Yeah, somebody's going to write us an angry message.
Yeah, like you guys.
And
are
it's okay. Dumb. Like, argue with us. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, like, we want to know how you feel.
Well, we were going to. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say,
saying one more thing. What?
How many one more things do you have about chicken nugget?
What?
I do want to say that.
Six more things.
I do think there was humor that plays well with a Korean audience. And I do want to recognize that. Like, I think there are a lot of things about the humor that were distinctly Korean that I didn't connect with. And so I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. You might have absolutely loved the humor, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I just knew between the three of us, this is the type of humor we don't like. And again, she was a chicken nugget head the whole time. The whole time. I would have watched and been very excited, but not just like
a sentient nugget rather than them trying to protect this nugget from getting eaten.
A sentient nugget would have been amazing.
I was actually really enjoying that it was a non-sentient nugget, but given, no, I don't want to, I can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, we can move on. If you have any questions, let me know. And if you did really like chicken nugget and you do think I sound dumb, that is your prerogative. Please don't email us and tell us you think I'm dumb. Please be nice. But
What? If you're not dumb. Put it on the Instagram wall and call us out with your name on it.
Be proud. Yeah, don't email us. Be proud of your chicken nugget love and tell me what I'm missing. And just be nice about it. But
be awful. Be mean because then I'll enjoy it. If you're going to do it, just be nasty.
You dummy. Anyway, so. Let me know. I'm curious what people think.
One more thing.
No,
I'm going to go get I'm getting chicken wings after this because of it.
I know. I feel kind of hungry.
I know. I'm starving.
Okay. Chicken wings sound good.
Let's take it to some questions from the Patreon that have nothing to do with a goddamn nugget.
No, we're done with nuggets now.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about nuggets all night tonight because now I'm just like stuck. I'm stuck psychologically.
So I've got one, which is kind of an easy one, because this is something that did come up with me last week. So one of our listeners asked us, what is the most annoying interruption you have had while watching a K-drama? And then she told us about like she was watching something and then I think it was her husband walked in and like made a comment and like totally pulled her out of the drama and it made her really mad. Like, have you ever had something that has just interrupted your watching of a drama and just kind of ruined your night?
Sounds like you do.
I did last week. Yeah.
So go for it.
And it wasn't like a person. So I was watching Twinkling Watermelon, which I have since finished and I fucking adore it so much. I want you guys to watch it so badly. It was a rare night where I had some energy and I was staying up late and I was watching dramas. And Vicky shit the bed at like 10 o'clock at night. Like Vicky just gone. Like episode ended. I went to go put it on to the next episode and it's like, you're not logged in. I was like, oh shit. Like I'm not logged. Like that happens sometimes like on my streamer, like it kicks me out. Mm-hmm. So I log back in. And it's like, nope. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody hacked my Vicky account. That's my first thought. But I'm like, you know what? This is the only time that I ever go to Twitter is to find out if something's not working because everybody will be screaming their asses off about it. And everybody is like adding Vicky, like, hey, Vicky, what's going on? Vicky. And there was no response for them.
Okay.
But Vicky just died and it came back the next day. Like it was back the next day. Whatever happened, they fixed it. Good for them. Thank you, Vicky. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. But I was like nearing the end of the drama. So, you know, the episodes are getting more and more climactic and it's a time travel drama and it's a, you know, a father son drama and just some really emotional stuff happening. And I was very, very upset and it like ruined my night. Like I didn't know what else to do with myself. I'm like, I'm awake. I'm ready to watch a drama and I can't. Like I just finished an episode. It kicked me out and I'm out. It was sad.
Damn you, Vicky.
Yeah.
I don't tend to get interrupted because I watch on my phone almost exclusively. And unless I'm watching with my youngest child, Poppy. And so I tend to never get interrupted because I'm just like watching it on my phone with my AirPods in when people go to bed. I don't watch during the like I don't know what it's like to like turn on the TV and watch during the day, really. Like, it's not something I really do.
I mean, I've told this story before on the podcast, so I'll just give like an abbreviated version. But I was watching I Am Not a Robot, which, as you all know, is like top three drama. And it was in the evening.
I love this story.
It was in the evening. Like, it was dark out. Like, I don't remember what time it was, but I know it was late. And I was watching that scene of I Am Not a Robot. I'll just say it's the reset scene. It indelibly changed my life. Did I use that word right? Indelibly?
Yes, you can't erase it.
Thank you.
You can't erase it.
You're so good at that. Anyway, I was bawling my eyes out and I was sobbing. It was loud. And that's when we lived, like, we had a bedroom in the attic. Neil heard me from two flights down, came upstairs just to check on me. Because he was like, he thought someone died. And I was like, well, it feels like it. And I mean, my face at this point is so swollen. My eyes are puffy. I can't stop crying because he comes up right in the middle of the scene, which I'm like, get the fuck away from me. And he turns around and he trips over this like construction thing we had at the landing. I don't know, it was some sort of like metal pail.
Because you're getting ready to move.
We're getting ready to move. And he hollers like a stuck pig. And then I hear him be like, Megan, oh my God, Megan, I need your help. Megan, I need your help. And I was like, what the hell? So I can't even see. I had to put my phone down. I'm still thinking about the scene. So I'm like still crying because I can't like, I'm not an actress. I can't like turn it off. And I follow a blood trail in my house to the bathroom where my husband is sitting on the toilet with lid shut. I'm sorry. He's just sitting there holding his heel up. And there is like.
Not like taking a dump. Wow.
No, he's not. There is like. A 2-inch gash on his heel, and I'm talking dripping blood. Like, literally, ugh. It was bleeding so hard. I could not see. He's like, I need your help, because he couldn't, like, it was on his heel. So it was like, he couldn't, like, turn his foot around. You know what I mean? So he's like, I need your help. I could not see through, like, my crying, swollen eyes to tape up his foot. And that's the worst interruption that I've ever had. He did not.
I mean, that's a pretty bad interruption.
Yeah, it was a horrible interruption. And it was at one of the most pivotal scenes in that drama where I was hyperventilating. I mean, like I said, the whole reason he had to come upstairs was because he heard me and thought someone died or I was like dying or something. So, yeah, worst interruption ever. And it's still my favorite.
You had to take care of your wounded hero and you did not want to blow on his wound.
I know. That's the thing, too. We had like just talked recently about, I think, like we had our wounded hero episode. And I was like, God, can't you do this yourself? I'm in the middle of a very important moment.
You are much nicer than I was. I got into meditation for a second. I think we even talked about this maybe around that time. So I got into meditation. I have never gone back. It's just not. I'm not good at it. And I could be in the future. I know there's benefits, blah, blah, blah. But I had this like app called Buddhify. And at night I would sit down. This was before K-dramas. Like, it's when I had less to do. And so I'm at like at night. It was like 2019-ish. I'm trying to like do this app, like, like zenning out, just trying to be chill. And Nick had been decided, he got into his mind to make these like mason jars. And this is not like, it's not like he's doing this regular. Because I don't want people at home to be like, oh, look at your handy husband. No, God. But he had this like random yin to make like a spice rack of mason jars where you like screw them into some piece of wood and then label them with chalkboard paint and then write the spice on it.
Okay, yeah, Nick.
Delightful. And everyone who's like, oh, how insta-cute, like it's the only time in his entire life he's chosen to do this. And what he did is he went down the garage and then accidentally sprayed chalkboard paint in his eyeball. So I'm trying to meditate and he comes upstairs like, whoa! And I'm just like, breathe in, breathe out. And then he's like, I did this. I'm like, okay, go like rinse it out, breathe in, breathe out. So he's like in the shower trying to like rinse it out. And then he's so pissed at this point that I'm not helping him. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, you're rinsing out your eyeball. I can't rinse it out for you. Like, rinse it out. Like,
yeah,
it's okay. Like, you're like, I don't know. So then he's like, what if my eye starts to melt? And he's like, I'm going to the emergency room. I'm like, at the time, our insurance wasn't as robust. I'm like, no, because we are in America. Like, we're going to have like an $1,800 bill if you go to the emergency room. He's like, it's my eye. I'm like, your eye is fucking fine. I'm like, go to urgent care at least. Like, don't go to the emergency
room. Like, are you looking at me with that eye right now?
Yeah. Is your eye on okay. your cheek? No. Yeah. Like, what happened to being it's so hot to rip teeth out?
And you always have like, your other just, one.
He's like, you're just sitting there breathing. I'm like, yeah, I'm meditating.
So and
he felt very unloved and unsupported. Drove himself with his eye to the emergency room.
Oh my God. With his melting eye.
Yeah, with his melting eye. Went there to get the big bill. And then they basically looked at his eye and said, well, you've done an excellent job flushing it.
Yeah.
And he came home like, bleh. But I did not get up and like hold him in the shower as he rinsed his own eyeball out. I am an asshole.
I mean, I had to help Neil because he was bleeding. Like he was actively needed a tourniquet.
He needed a tourniquet.
I'm kidding. In K-dramas, they would have
saved the foot.
I promise. No gangrene. I saved the foot.
You did it all. You know what? Marry Nick, too, so he can have somebody else, because you would have helped him with his eye, probably.
The thing is, Neil was, like, laughing, because he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because I look insane. I look like someone died.
You're, and, like, crying while you're doing
yes,
it.
Yes, and he's like, what the hell? And so I'm like, I can barely see. He's like, you're worse. So I was like, I know. And then he just keeps going, why do you like it? I'm like, it's the best. Like, ugh.
Oh, well, I mean, that's cute.
I sure. I mean, he was amused.
I bet you would put sauce on his nugget head, too.
I would definitely sauce his nugget
head. I'd probably just fucking eat it.
Take a chunk out.
Yeah, what would that? No, I'm not gonna do one more thing. But like, what? Okay. Like, she's a sentient chicken nugget head, and does he take a bite? Like,
well, no,
it's such a big nugget. How long would it last?
I don't know. I got yelled at last night for taking a bite of the salad too early, so I don't think I would last too well. Nick's like, dinner's not ready. I'm like, well, I'm hungry and I'm eating some salad, and he's like, Anyway, let's keep going.
Marriage sounds fun.
It does. Marriage sounds great. And I sound I'm a delight to be around at all times.
Okay, well, I have another question.
Yeah,
or
go
do
ahead.
You have one? Mm-mm. If you could travel to the future, which K-drama sequel would you be pleased to find there?
All of us are dead. All of us are dead. All of us are dead. And then also A Shop for Killers.
Yeah. Yeah. Love both those.
So I say All of Us Are Dead, yes. And then I would like to see the JBL, His Beautiful Man. I don't care what they're doing. They can just take a bath for 9 episodes. I don't give a shit.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I agree.
So I think we talked about this when we did our Alchemy of Souls podcast, but I want the spinoff series called Relic Hunters with our leads.
You did, with Alchemy of Souls leads. Yep. Mm. I would love that.
If you could travel back in time, which drama would you stop from ever being made?
Chicken Nugget. I would be like, bro, you've got a lot of skills. This is not your best.
Let's talk this one out first.
Yeah.
Before you start shooting, let's talk it out.
Can you imagine being the author of a rom-com and the studio is like, no, we're going to go with this other thing. And you're like, God. And then you like wait for it to come out. You're like, it must be so great. And then it's fucking
here's what they bought instead of my drama.
Here's what they bought instead of mine.
So I have, I'm not going to shut the door. I know we said we were shutting the door on nuggets, but we're not, because somebody else had a nugget adjacent question. Because that's the theme of tonight is the nugget.
It and is so the nugget. Megan just is not allowed to say one more thing. That's
if you could be a sentient piece of food, what would you be?
Oh, I did have one for that.
What was it?
So I said that I would be a crab that is not like not like cut apart or anything else. I'd be a full crab.
So you mean you'd be just a living creature? What?
I'd be a crab. I'd be sentient, and I would speak with a French accent, and I would call myself Sebastian.
That's not the answer. You're just an animal.
What the
No, I'm Sebastian like if I was from a Little cow. Mermaid. No, I'm Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, but you're not a sentient piece of food. That'd be like if I was like, I'm a cow that talks.
Yeah. Well, that's what I chose a crab. I chose a crab before it went in. Before it went in the pot.
You're like an already steamed crab.
Steamed crab. I don't care. That was my answer. You can't tell me my answer is wrong. It's my answer.
It is wrong. It's a lie.
That's what I chose.
Oh my God, I'm pissed.
I think I would be broccoli because the like fluffy part on top, you could like style it into hairstyles.
Can you though?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to style a piece of broccoli?
You would just hedge trim it. And like, it could be anything you want. I could get a lightning.
I don't think Amy's in a position to question you right now.
You'd be a broccoli like topiary.
Yeah, yeah. It would. You could like bonsai me.
I think I would be a mushroom growing in just a little pile of angry shit.
What the hell? That's such a middle child thing to say. The most middle child thing you've said.
Being like it's not a fucking
that made me swallow that made me swallow wrong because I'm like yep, that tracks.
Yeah, that's
no, you just want to be an animal that's not being eaten.
I love how mad this is making you. I'm like, I don't give it's like a the shit.
You're the rule follower, but like, Leah is like I'm so
angry. I'm the rule follower, but she's so mad that like I went
because it was taking the question okay, and not let's delivering choose the something. Spirit.
Okay, well, let's choose a food. I'm going to take liberties when I want to take liberties. Look, I was doing it during a webinar at work. Leave me the fuck alone.
You weren't following the rules at work either. Well, what no. Okay, but if you were a non-sentient food. Like, I'm only a broccoli stem. Like, I still have my body. I just got, like, the broccoli head.
I'd still be a mushroom.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Like, it's just a piece of food? Like, just, I'm food, yeah. But I don't even know
well,
I'm food?
What does it matter?
Yes! Well,
let's
what does it matter? That was the sentient. Actual question.
No, if I'm like, not sentient, what does it matter?
No, your body is sentient, like the chicken nugget, where it's just your head. What would
no,
your head
you're
be?
An actual thing.
Oh, I still had my body.
No! God!
Just let's get off this question, because Leah's well, not happy.
Then you could cut my stems and give me little feet. If I was just a full broccoli, I'm still going to be broccoli. I think it's the most fashionable.
All right.
Oh my God.
I have one. I'm picking.
Go. Kay.
Okay. This was a game that one of our listeners had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was assign different shows and characters as your astrology, sun sign, moon sign, and rising sign. So remember, your sun is your external personality, the thing people see first. Moon is your internal or emotional life, and rising is what you are striving to be like.
Okay. I like this. I had this. So I did this one. Let's see if I did it right.
I don't know. Are you not answering the question? I mean, like, instead of astrology, I'm going to talk about fucking vampires.
What if I want to talk about vampires, I'll talk about vampires. No, so for my son, I said that I'd be duck me for her private life because I'm a very open fangirl. Like, it is before, like, you know, K-drama. Like, I've always been a fangirl of superheroes, of vampires, superheroes. And also, like, I think I'm pretty openly ambitious, too. I'm always... working hard, trying to do well. But inside my moon sign is from the drama I'm watching now, thanks to Megan, because I listened to her suggestion last week and I'm watching Wedding Impossible. And inside, I am not Ajong. Still trying to claw my way to success, doing all of the things, like a strong personality, but still trying to reach goals that I feel like I haven't reached yet, even at this middle point in my life. So I feel like her on the inside, that's a part that you don't see. And then rising, what I strive to be is, and hear me out here, Hee Jae from Hit the Spot.
Oh!
Yes. Because if you haven't seen Hit the Spot, you should see Hit the Spot because it's fantastic. But one of our heroines, because we have two who get like kind of like almost equal story, but I guess TJ is more of like the main lead. She is taking her sexual needs into her own hands, like what she wants, finally learning what she wants and what she enjoys, and even, you know, professionally too. And that's what I'm kind of looking at it from on a sort of like broader spectrum, is that I strive to be the person who learns how to put herself first sometimes. I'm a mom and I will always be a mom and my kids will always come first, but my kids are older and a lot more independent, and one is, you know, fleeing the nest for college soon. So I think I'm moving into my me era.
Mm. Aww, that's what I like that. To be.
Yeah.
So you kind of answered the question, because it was actually supposed to be the K-drama itself and you went with characters.
No, it said a K-drama or character. Thank you very much. Read the question.
There was a slash.
Well, she gave examples and her examples were
dramas. And her examples were characters from dramas.
No, they were the whole drama.
No, they were characters.
I'm pulling it up right now to look.
God, you
no, it's the whole drama. She just has the full drama.
But she said dramas or characters.
She did. Assign different shows characters. Slash mm-hmm. characters.
So I did the assignment. Fuck you.
I'm just going to stay over here like a little mushroom. I'm still mad about Sebastian.
Stay. Mushroom, you can't
Namaste.
Talk then. You can't talk.
Megan?
Yeah?
Do you have one? Did anybody else do the assignment? Am I the
I
only
did
one?
Not. I'm so sorry because I couldn't remember. I don't remember what my moon and my rising is. I'm sorry. I tried to find it today and I didn't have time to take another test.
You don't just have to look it up. You don't have to look up your moon and your rising. You have to know what dramas like represent your sort of moon and rising. Like, I don't know for sure my moon and rising are because I don't know what time I was born.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I wanted to be as accurate as possible. And then so when I didn't know mine.
Oh, no, I did it as like how I feel.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So
well,
I'm sorry.
If you want to mull it over, I'm going to do it.
I'm Pisces.
So I actually know mine because you're a Pisces sun for sure. Do you know what you're rising? And you don't know.
I don't remember. I think I'm Libra moon.
Hmm.
And I don't
I'm Virgo,
know something.
I'm Virgo sun, Virgo rising, Sagittarius moon.
Okay. I'll try to find it. I did it. Or I could redo it again.
Okay. Well, I'll go. I did whole drama. So look, Amy and I both then did the homework. Aren't
and
we?
I didn't.
So
she doesn't yell at you though
because she at least picked up broccoli. Not a piece of food that had no intention of being eaten because it's just an animal.
I did love that she like specified, she's like, the claws attached. It's like, okay, good. Where else
I can still walk around, I can still crab walk.
Yeah, because right. You're alive. I would pick being alive, too. Okay.
Okay. You pick.
Okay. Sun sign, I'm going to go with reply 1988 because I feel like I work with people that think I am older than the sun. Today, I was working with a student that's been like my mentee for like 2 years. And she was like, you text young.
Stop. What?
And I was like, oh, thank
How
you.
How old do you think I am?
Thanks for her. Like, and she was like, you just text like, you know, it's so relatable. I was like, well, what did you think I was going to write you? Like, dear sir, yes, I shall meet you at this appointed time. I was
sincerely, like, Leah.
Yes. And then I gave her an existential crisis because I made a reference to one of my kids being born in 2015. And so I was kind of smug because she's like, what do you mean she was born in 2015? I'm like, because you're now going to be on the journey where other people are going to be born at ages that feel inappropriate and wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I feel like kind of like the Ajumas in Reply 1988 for my sun sign, because apparently I just show up looking like I might as well just have a perm and a smog. I would say that my moon sign feels a little Coffee Prince, because I feel like I'm more like expansive in my heart. Like I do really do like the, you know, I feel like I show up looking like an Ajumma, but really I'm kind of like, look, I would just love whatever. be it an alien or what. Like, I'm just expansive. I'm much more expansive than a perm and 40 plus would suggest in a smock. And then for rising, I had one and I forgot it. Rising's what I aspire to be.
Oh my God.
I aspire to be an effing samurai in Mr. Sunshine, just taking out my enemies.
Fantastic. I can see you as that. There was an umbrella just behind you at your window and it freaked me out. It looked like a shark.
That's what that was? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was an umbrella.
Yeah, why was there an umbrella? Because like, I have like...
It was like move. It was big. Like I thought it was like a black
cloud. Because I have like
cloud.
A window like, out blocker. Your window. That's not good because I have like a window blocker, like, you know, nobody should be right there. That's like a little like furry thing so you can't like look in.
Well, it was like way off to the corner. It's like way behind you in the corner.
I didn't realize that was an umbrella. I was just like, there's some big black cloud there.
No, it was an umbrella because it tipped and I could see it. Anyway, sorry. Okay, well, thank you for your homework that I didn't do. Sorry.
All right, you can pick the next one, Megan.
Yeah, you pick one.
I saw one. What's that? Sorry, hold on. Let me load more comments because there was one I wanted to talk about. Someone asked, we're all here because we love K-dramas, but I would love to hear if you're currently watching any BLs and or just finished any and your thoughts about them. Leah and I mentioned this, but let's talk about it again. We've just finished a Taiwanese BL. Oh God, Leah, what's it? What was it called?
Kisuke. Kisuke?
Which also means dear to me. And it was on Viki. For some reason, I can never remember the title because the title is so vague. Well, Kisuke is not, but I think of it as whatever. Anyway. It was fantastic. It was actually one of the better acted BLs, I would say, for sure. I've seen another Taiwanese BL that I really like, so I just think they do a really good job. And I will say, if you like BLs, we have covered several on the pod, so you can easily look back and check out the ones we've seen, and we do talk about them occasionally, just like any other K-drama we watch, but we definitely do watch them. And we've watched a couple. So yeah, check out our past episodes for sure.
Can I do one that's just gratuitously fun for me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So Stuart asked, all of BTS are cast in the next big zombie movie. Who gets what role? Amy, did you do this one?
I did.
All right. Well, I can go and then you can go.
Yeah, you go first.
So for me, who dies a hilarious... So these are all questions. There's 7 questions, and I'm going to just name the question, then answer. So who dies a hilarious death? I have Jin.
I knew you would.
Who is completely useless but comes through in the end? I have Jimin. Who is the coward that runs away? I have J-Hope. Who becomes the friendly zombie? I have Jungkook. Who dies the hero? I have Taehyung. He has a fetish for dying. He loves to die in all his things. Who is the male lead who gets the girl? I would like to say Suga and that it's me, but I'm going to give it to Namjoon because, look, let him get some. God. And then who gets the tragic second ML story? That's going to be Min Yoongi or Suga.
We had the same last two.
Okay.
So here's my, and we had a couple of flip-flops, which I thought was funny. Okay, so who dies a hilarious death? I had Jimin. Who is completely useless but comes through in the end? I had Jin. Who is the coward that runs away? I put V because he's too precious to fight. For me. Who becomes the friendly zombie? J-Hope. Who dies the hero? Jungkook. Who is the male lead that gets the girl? RM. And who is the tragic second lead? Yoongi.
Let's watch it.
Okay. I did mine. I like this question. It's pretty, okay. It's actually, I like it because it actually is really easy. I thought it was actually kind of easy. So who dies a hilarious death? I put Jungkook because I just think he would be really funny at comedy. Who is completely useless but comes through in the end? I put J-Hope. Sometimes he kind of reminds me of like Scooby-Doo and Fred or no, Scooby. No, who's like has
Shaggy?
Scooby-Doo?
Shaggy?
Thank you.
You're Shaggy right now.
I know. I am. Okay. Okay, so who's completely useless but comes through in the end? J-Hope. Who is the coward that runs away? I put V just because I feel like he would be really dramatic about it and it would be funny. Who becomes the friendly zombie? I put Jimin. Who dies the hero? I wrote Suga because are you kidding me? After Haegum's music video, I would like Suga would die a really awesome death on screen, I think. Who is the male lead that gets the girl? Namjoon. I'm sorry.
We all put Namjoon. I love it.
Namjoon is just main character energy. Who gets the girl? That's just like he, like if like I feel like if you cast this as like some American horror movie where they're like being chased by a chainsaw, like Kim Namjoon is going to be the one who lives and gets the girl. Like he just is. And then I put the tragic second lead as Jin because I feel like he's that type of like super nice guy. So he's the one that the girls are gonna like push the side for like Kim Namjoon bad boy. Because well, in my mind, in the zombie, he plays a bad boy character and himself.
Anyway. I just think he's like a desperate virgin nice
guy. He's the hopeless romantic. That's
yeah. That was fun. I like that one.
So there was another BTS ish one that I liked. This or that. Would you prefer a Jin album first upon military release or a Jin led K drama? He was going to be an actor.
I'm going to go music because I would like. The drama would be fun and interesting, but they really are good at just like milking so much content out of the music that I feel like I would have more content to just like dig into with like an album.
I feel the same because with the album, we get music videos. And so to me, that's almost like, you know, each one's a little mini drama. Although if Jin ever is in a drama, like I'm totally there for it, but they better let him do something on the OST as well.
I actually want to see a drama. I just really want to see him act.
So this is a very long
answer.
This is a very long question, but I'm just going to read the whole. Most of it, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the calm part of rom-com. What kinds of comedy do you like to read? Right, I think this is actually a good bookend to this because we've kind of we're at 107.
I was just gonna say, I was like, yeah, let's bring this full circle.
Yeah, yes. I feel like this is. What kinds of comedy do you like to write, read, and see in your dramas, rom-coms or otherwise? Clever wordplay, referential humor, slapstick, physical fall down, go boom stuff, incongruence like when a girlish fairy is body swapped with a dark and powerful lord. Or when an extremely handsome oppa with a SNU law degree breaks down blubbering at the tragedy, his irresistible outsized cuteness, awkward situations and misunderstandings with or without goat noises, absurdism like when, oh, someone gets turned into a chicken nugget or there are hedgehogs in sex dungeons or souls being huffed. Don't put the chicken nugget in the same box as the sex hedgehogs. Are there classic K-drama scenes we can agree are very funny and belong in a comedy pantheon? And who among our faves have comic performance chops? So there's a lot in there.
My just gosh. That's
answer
a lot.
What you I think I somebody was like, that would be a good podcast episode.
I was just going to say that.
A good, like full episode. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's take an initial stab at just like what just pick one thing from that that you would like to talk about.
I like good wordplay, but like when we're talking about like a rom-com, I like good wordplay between the male and female lead. And I think that's how Megan sold me on Wedding Impossible. And that's what has totally reeled me in for Wedding Impossible is it's an enemies to lovers. And their banter with each other is top notch. Like I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I absolutely love it. And so that when we're talking like comedy and romance, that's the kind that I really dig. Like when it's romance, I don't want farcical. It's funny. Like I was telling Megan about a really funny like 3-second thing that happened. And I like physical comedy in really small doses with romance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like just to give, you know, like Cafe Minim Dong is an example, like that was over the top and I enjoyed it enough. But like to me, that drama, like I didn't even pay attention to the romance as much as I paid attention to just the silliness of it. So when I want to be romantically invested in a drama, I want there to be good banter between the leads, and the physical comedy can be like just little sprinkles here and there.
Yeah, I would say I don't love physical comedy either. That's not my favorite. I love banter. Yes. So I love dialogue humor where especially when both characters are like super smart and are volleying it back. So just like whip smart dialogue. I like it when it wouldn't necessarily be natural, because in real life, I think we're stuttering over words and we're saying things wrong. So I love like the quick sharpness of dialogue back and forth. And I do find that funny often. I would say a very funny scene that I think about a lot that I think is funny is Boner Alley. And we've talked about Boner Alley.
That was the one I was going to talk about.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say it's from Reply 1988. That is the type of humor I like. So mm-hmm. It's like character driven, first of all. It's funny because of who these characters are, because you know their relationship with each other. And there doesn't even have to be necessarily a lot of dialogue. It's like the situational type thing more than the physical. Does that make sense? Like, I don't love like, oh, I'm accidentally falling. I don't know. That kind of like, and like, you know, the dramatic, like, oh, I'm going to fall on top of you. And that's going to be our first kiss. Like, that's never humor that's going to like land with me. Mm-mm. But Boner Alley, mm-hmm. which I mean, Leah can explain more, but that to me is great humor.
Yeah. No, I mean, I won't. Yeah. But to me, it's like that. I think I like the situational humor that feels like relatable to some degree, where you're like, oh, I've been in either like uncomfortable situations, or I can really put myself in that situation. And like some, like in that situation, it was like embarrassing, but also like sweet, and kind of mm-hmm. like where you're like, oh gosh, I've like been in those like awkward kind of like where you've got the first crush and you're young and you're dumb and oh God. And you're insecure, and it's cute and it feels relatable. Another kind of humor that really works for me is what happens in kind of like the hospital playlist dramas, mm-hmm. where it's like that again, it's like grounded relationally and friendship wise. But I'm trying to think of like, so like Dr. Our Ik-jun. Really handsome, yeah, Ik-jun, our liver doctor. Ugh. He was just so funny. Like he had so many like good little like one-liners. I really liked the relationship between like the OBGYN, you know, resident, and then the big bear, who is Kim Dae-myung, another favorite of mine. But like, I really liked him. And so just kind of like that awkward like relationship kind of like growing and unfurling, and there's just like funniness there. Or, you know, the priest gig and like the brother being the priest. Like, I don't know, Hospital Playlist had the kind of humor that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. I like humor that makes me feel like I'm in on the joke or I'm in on the secret. So like that was just to bring up Boner Alley again. So it's like two neighbors who have lived next to each other their whole lives, a boy and a girl, and the boy is starting to like get to the age where he's like, oh shit, my neighbor's, you know, hot. I'm Americanizing the shit out of this, but you know what I'm saying? And they have to squeeze into an alley together because they're running from like their principal or something. And
they're getting chased.
You see the moment,
yeah.
They're getting chased. And you see the moment where the close proximity of the girl makes things happen, and we call it Boner Alley. And you know you're in on the joke. Like, you feel in on that secret with him. And it
yeah,
makes,
cause she
like,
doesn't get it.
No, she has no idea. She doesn't know what's happening. She's just like hiding. But you know, from his point of view and like previous scenes, that he's starting to like recognize her and he started to be attracted to her. And so when the scene is where he like looks up at the sky and he's like squeezing his eyes because he's like trying to like will himself not to have a boner. And you see the look on his face, and as the audience, you know. And it's funny because you feel like there was, I would say there was one scene in Chicken Nugget, I'm sorry, bringing it full circle, where, again, the main character who's not presented to us as an attractive man, which I think he is, but that's the point. He's
so cute.
Realizes, he kind of puts two and two together, and he realizes, oh, the machines will turn you into the last thing you're seeing. Like, as, because there's a little window in the machine. Or, and he's hoping, and with that, or he hopes it's something you think about. Like, he's like, Mina was thinking about a chicken nugget, and that's why she got turned into a chicken nugget.
This so is he the gets in the machine. Clip that I saw on Instagram.
So he gets in the machine, and he closes his eyes, and the machine's like warring up, and you're like, what's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? And he closes his eyes and goes, cha, oh no! Like, he's saying he wants to turn into, like, you know, one of the most attractive men in, well, as everyone says, Trim is attractive man in Korea, Chan Eun-woo. And it's just, that is funny because I felt, you don't, you only get that if you know who Chan Eun-woo is. So if you're watching it, and I mean, especially again, it's Korean, people know who he is in Korea. It'd probably be like saying Brad Pitt, you know what I mean? And so that was funny. That's because I felt in on it.
Does that make sense? Goblin, when Reaper says his name is Kim Woo-bin.
Right.
Like, and I didn't get it. When we first saw it, we didn't get it because we didn't know who Kim Woo-bin was, because that was like my second drama. And then, you know, second time around, I'm like, I get it now and I love it. And yeah, when you're in on the joke type of thing, I want to say one more comedy thing that I really like, because I want to give credit to one of my bays, Rowoon, in Destined with You. I like when there's like a callback, like, you know, where like a callback phrase that makes you laugh every time. So in Destined with You, if you didn't watch it, haven't listened to the pod that I did with BTS Megan on this one, he's falling in love against his will because he drank a love potion, and he does not want to be falling in love with this woman, but he cannot keep from wanting to be around her like all the time. And you just see him like chastising himself all the time. And I mean, you can find, there's like reels of it now that are just compilations of him like just saying, get a grip, Shinyu, get a grip, Shinyu. Because like every time he's like, I know that I shouldn't want to be around her. And it's just, it's sweet and it's endearing, but it's also really, really funny the way that he does it. And I think it, you know, it takes that actor who has the charm to be the leading man, but to also be a bit of a goof. And I think that that particular character, like, he was meant to play it and he did it so well. And I just, yeah, I love when there's like just a callback to like a one liner that makes you laugh every time because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Well, again, but that's like, gets good writing to me. So it's
it
like
is.
The humor.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we're kind of all saying. It's like the humor definitely falls on the script. We're a little bit more into like script humor than, again, like physical humor, slapstick type silliness.
Although something that is, because I just don't like slapstick in general, but something that's slapsticky that I do like, because I think you're also in on the joke to some degree. I mean, look, I like the goat bleats.
I think the goats are funny.
So, by the end, I was so endeared. Like, at the beginning, it was like,
I actually did like them by the end.
But now I'm, like, so endeared by it that if I ever hear a goat bleat for anything, I'm like, oh, the goat.
I think it's funny. Yeah.
I do. Because it got to the point where it felt like a cricket sound. You know? How slow.
Right.
If it someone, is. Like. Yep. Yeah. And so then I just started thinking of it as, like, a cricket sound. And I was like, oh,
it's the uncomfortable. It's the uncomfortable comic moment.
Yes. And. I think it just it was subtle, I guess.
That's the kind of food item I want to be. I want to be a bleeding goat.
Okay.
And Amy can ride me around with her pinchers.
I'll pinch the shit out of you.
Mom and Dad are fighting.
Who is mom and who's dad?
You're definitely dad.
I am?
You're dad.
You're dad. Yes. You are dad.
Oh my God, that's insulting.
Are you telling me Amy's not mom? I guess I could actually put you two in either roles now that I'm thinking about it.
I feel like we just have a single mom.
Amy would definitely be like lawyer mom who's like going to work in pantsuits if she was a mom.
Yeah. I feel like Amy's the only parent.
Amy is. Amy is. You know what?
You're Amy like was the, a mom.
You know what? Amy's like the dad, and you're like the much younger stepmom who could be my sister. Yeah. I'm going to go with
because I text cool, y'all.
But you Amy looks very good all. For her age. Okay, we gotta go. Oh, well, that was fun. I had fun talking about chicken nugget. Thanks, guys.
I'm glad you got to get one more thing off your chest.
No, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. If you want to talk more about chicken nugget, you got to reach out to me personally.
I'm going to get
Megan
nugget.
Only. Megan only to talk about yeah. chicken nugget.
Yeah.
Or you can write us a really long and scathing comment. I will enjoy it. Your hate will only make me stronger.
Oh.
Anywho. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. Annyeong.
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 Gamsahamnida. Thank you for listening to Afternoon of Delight. Where can you find us outside the pod? Head on over to afternoonadelight.com. That's afternoonadelight.com. You'll find links to all our social media, our book recs, K-pop and K-skincare recs, and if you want even more Afternoon of Delight, because really who doesn't, you can join our Patreon, where you can choose the patron level that's right for you. Join in daily K-drama conversations, listen to bonus podcast episodes just for patrons, and participate in our monthly live K-drama support group via Zoom. We can't wait for you to be a part of the community. Until next time, annyeong!